Well, good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome to another Sunday evening recorded lesson during the COVID period when we are not meeting at the building on Sunday evenings. We're glad to have you this evening. As you know, Becky and I just returned from a trip to Nashville and to Columbus, Indiana, for a wedding and then to see our son JD and his family. We had a great trip getting to see the grandchildren and JD and Julianne. But as always, it's great to be back home. I want to talk to you this evening for a few minutes about the importance of teaching and the role of our Bible classes together. I simply call this lesson Getting More Out of Our Bible Classes. Let's begin by talking about the importance of the role of teaching. Christianity is a taught and learned religion. We do not learn about God through feelings or through experiences or dreams in the night. We learn by way of revelation. God has revealed himself to us. God has revealed his truth to us. God sent his Son who taught us and showed us the Father. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to guide his apostles into all the truth and to receive the gospel message which they wrote down and which has been recorded for us for all ages in the Bible. It is now the role of the church to continue to pass along the message through the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Therefore, the role of teaching and preaching is critical to the growth and the edification, not only of the individual Christian, but to the congregation as a whole. Notice Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain unto the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be no longer children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom all the body, fitly framed and knit together, through that which every joint supplieth, according to the working of due measure, of each several part, maketh the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Now, there's a lot in those verses there in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. But it is our goal, it should be the goal of God's people, to build mature Christians, to build them up in the most holy faith. Jude verse 20, Jude talks about building yourselves up in the most holy faith. It is our goal to build strong and mature and faithful brothers and sisters. Strong and mature and faithful so that we will not be tossed, as Paul says, will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We have to be so careful because we know the Bible teaches that Satan is a roaring lion, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he uses every trick in the book to try to pull us away. He seeks to lead men and women away from Jesus into the world. He uses false doctrine. He uses false teachers. He uses false philosophies of this world. And so we have to be grounded in the truth, grounded in that revealed message which has been given to us. Remember the warnings of the scriptures over and over again about false teachers and false doctrine. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3 says, But the Spirit saith expressly that in latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. And so the Spirit of God warned us that in the latter days, some would fall away from the faith. Some would be tempted by seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. There would be false doctrines, false teachers. Some would forbid to marry, command to abstain from meats. These are just examples of other things that might be taught. But in all cases, we must be warned, we must be careful, simply to hold to truth. So it's not necessary, I suppose, to belabor the point that God's people and the Lord's church today are built upon the truth of the gospel, the word of God. We're talking about teaching, teaching. Jesus came teaching. He was a teacher. He was the master teacher. He wore himself out teaching. We often think of Jesus as a miracle worker, and he was. He performed many signs and miracles. But first of all and primarily, he was a teacher. He came teaching and preaching. He sent out the 12 in the limited commission with the message of the kingdom, teaching in the cities and villages. He sent out the 70 in the limited commission, teaching the message of the kingdom in the cities and villages. After his death, and his resurrection and ascension, he sent the 12 into the world. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Those words are important. Preach the gospel. Teaching God's truth as guided by the Spirit of God. Teaching continued. Teaching must continue today. And so that work of teaching continues from one generation to the next. As Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1-2, Thou therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so four generations of teachers. Paul to Timothy, who would teach these things to faithful men who would be able to teach others. Paul, Timothy, the ones Timothy taught, and those would teach others. And it would continue on and on and on. And so the role of teaching is critically important. And so let us think about that this evening. And we said we want to talk about the Bible classes, and we said that we were calling this lesson getting more out of the Bible classes. And so we understand these fundamental things we've been talking about, the importance of teaching God's word, God's revealed message, so critical. And so let's talk about the Bible classes a little bit and think about our teaching opportunities. There's different kinds of learning opportunities, obviously. Preaching is one format. That has its place, it has its strength, and has its weaknesses, I suppose. I suppose if we could think about the weakness of preaching, it's the inability for people to ask questions. It's pretty much a one-way conversation. That's the nature of preaching. Bible classes and teaching opportunities of a Bible class where you have an informal kind of setting would have advantages and disadvantages, I suppose, as well. The advantage of that kind of situation is the asking of questions, the having of a discussion, the getting of different ideas, the sharing ideas. And so in Bible classes, oftentimes you have questions and answers, discussions, a back and forth. And these kind of teaching and discussions and learning in those kind of setting has gone back hundreds and even thousands of years. The Greeks, back to the time of Plato and Aristotle, and Socrates, they had their students, they had their situations where they were teaching. The Jews had their schools, the rabbis gathering students around them to teach them and to learn. In the Old Testament, we had the prophets and the young men the son of the prophets, who came to learn from the prophets. We don't know exactly the structure of all these settings, but we know they were teaching situations, teaching and learning opportunities. And we've chosen basically two styles of instruction in the church today: the sermon, which we're familiar with, and the informal Bible classes, which we're familiar with. Of course, there's always the bulletin articles. That's teaching. That's teaching being done with the written word. There could be other formats similar to what we're talking about, a home Bible study, which might be even a smaller group. Or these days with technology, a Zoom study, where you have a smaller group studying the Bible together. In the sermon format, you have a disadvantage as far as preparation is concerned. In the sermon format, you usually do not know what's coming. You don't know what the preacher's going to talk about until you get to the assembly and he shares the topic of his lesson. An exception might be the kind of lessons that Brent is doing as we are studying through the book of Acts together, and he's preaching from Acts. And next time he's going to be in Acts chapter 11 or 12 or 13, whatever it is, and you can read it ahead of time, and that would be a good thing to do. You certainly would have the advantage of becoming a little familiar with it before you get to the sermon. So, but normally with the sermon, we think of just kind of showing up and the preacher having decided what he wants to preach about, and you don't study ahead. The advantage, of course, of the Bible class format is that you can and you're encouraged to study ahead. So let's talk about the benefits of Bible classes. I think the benefits are probably pretty obvious. The Bible classes allow oftentimes for more in-depth study of God's Word on a particular point. Within our Bible classes, sometimes we study textually from a book, the text of a book. In other words, we study through the book of Proverbs, as we're doing on Sunday morning, or we study through the book of Corinthians, as we have done recently, or some other Bible book, as we're studying now through 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus on Wednesday evening. That's what we call a textual study. But also sometimes we have topical studies where we're studying a particular topic. And you study a topic like baptism, or you study a topic like the second coming of Christ, or premillennialism, or some doctrine out there. And you pull passages from all over the Bible to see, try to figure out what the Bible says in the big picture on a particular topic. Again, as we said, the benefits, of course, of the Bible classes: one can ask questions about what has been studied. The class is less formal than a preaching situation, allowing for those answers and questions to be given. Different ones also, another advantage of the Bible class is getting different ones to share their knowledge on a subject. In preaching, one person speaks and preaches. In a Bible class, you share your Bible knowledge. We need to be careful about that, of course. Bible classes shouldn't turn into debates where there are hard feelings and improper attitudes. And that has happened in some Bible classes. We have a very, very good, very loving group, and those kind of things do not happen among us. But, of course, in those kind of situations, it's been known to happen in some places. But we're just simply talking about the sharing of Bible knowledge, and that can be a great advantage. As one person thinks about something that someone else didn't think about. It often happens to me in Bible class. Some of you share something that you thought about, or an illustration that you thought about that I didn't think about, even as I prepared fairly extensively for the lesson, as I'm teaching, and you make a comment, and you share something, and I thought, that's a great thought. I should have thought of that myself. And so many heads, combining our information and thoughts together, helps to edify and build up and strengthen one another. Of course, if used properly, classes can increase our rate of spiritual growth. That's the whole point, is growing in the knowledge of God's Word. Spiritual growth is related to the knowledge of God's Word, the application of God's Word. The more we study, the more often we think about God's Word, the more information we're going to get, the more application we're going to see, the faster we're going to grow. That's why we encourage attendance at all Bible study periods. We should all want to learn and grow. Growth benefits me in my daily life. I learn things, I learn applications that I'm able to share with others. I learn things about life and temptation and being careful about sin that helps to keep me from sin. I learn things about Jesus that edify me, build me up, and strengthen me as I live in this world. And so growth benefits me in many ways. Another benefit is enjoying the fellowship of studying with other Christians. We gain knowledge, but we also receive encouragement and strength. It encourages us and strengthens us to hear others talking and to hear others sharing their ideas or their challenges or something that happened in their life. And that benefits me. And we can sometimes, I'm not the only one that's challenged with this or that. I'm not the only one that's struggling with this or that. And so that can be a help and an encouragement to me. And so the encouragement, the benefit we receive of the encouragements of others. And also it's a benefit when we many of us get together, just our presence and just the participation is an encouragement. We see the love of the truth in others, and that's an encouragement to me. And so there's indeed many benefits to our meeting together, many benefits to the Bible classes. Now, despite such benefits, many people fail to attend Bible classes, and I don't understand why. I gain so much, I'm encouraged, I'm built up, I wonder, why don't other people partake of this? And I don't know the answers to all that. It seems to go back to a lack of faith or a struggling faith. But I encourage you, if you're listening to this tonight and you're a member of our local group, I encourage you to attend the Bible study periods. They're beneficial, they're helpful, they're important. And the more we study and the more we learn and the more that we find the knowledge of God's Word, the more we're going to be able to live faithfully to Him. They're just great opportunities that we should not miss. Lastly tonight, I want to talk about getting more out of Bible classes. How do I get more if I've made the decision to come and to worship God and to come to the Bible studies? How can I get more out of Bible classes? First of all, we just encourage you to attend. So that's number one, attend. You're not going to get the benefit if you're not there. One must attend if they're going to get the benefits of the Bible classes. And one must attend regularly to truly get the benefit from the classes. We all know that a child who misses school regularly is not going to learn very much. You can't attend secular school, whether the first grade or the 10th grade or the 12th grade. You can't attend just occasionally and get very much out of the school and the learning of the teachers and those that you're learning from. That's why attendance is mandatory in the schools. They make it mandatory so that people will come and the children will come. They'll come regularly. And so you need to attend Bible class regularly. Eating occasionally doesn't benefit much. Eating regularly makes you strong. It is healthy for you. Spiritually, regular eating, regular attendance, regular study, regular time with your brothers and sisters is beneficial to you, and so attend regularly. We all understand that sometimes we have to miss. It may be because of health, it may be because of something beyond our control that comes up, but let's make a habit of attending the Bible classes. Second of all, prepare before you come. again, you will benefit greatly based upon what you put into it. The more you put into it, the more effort you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. You should prepare by studying your lesson ahead of time. We often hand out lesson books or outlines. Read the lesson. Read the comments of the author of the lessons. Look up the passages. If we're just studying an outline sheet, like sometimes we hand out the outline with some questions, fill in the questions. Look up passages. Be curious. Think of things as you're studying and look up the answers to the questions you're thinking about. If you don't know a name or a place or a word, look it up. Become familiar with it. The internet makes this so easy these days. You take notes or you look up things. If you're curious about something, you can go to the internet. You can ask Google about a place, Bible places, just on your computer in Google. If you're not familiar with where Jerusalem is or a map of Jerusalem, just Google Jerusalem map and it'll pop up and show you where it is. Ask about a person. There's all kind of Bible websites out there. You're not familiar with Priscilla and Aquila. Just Google in Priscilla and Aquila. And there'll be some website out there with an article that tells you all about Priscilla and Aquila or the different passages that cover the different parts of Priscilla and Aquila's life. And so the internet, there's a lot of Bible websites out there. There's a lot of junk on the internet. But good Bible students, some of our brethren, even good conservative denominational people who have spent a lot of time creating websites that could be very helpful on Bible history, Bible geography, Bible people, Bible places. And so use your internet. Use your computer to help you to study. And so look up things that you're curious about, you don't know about. Look up other passages. Use your Bible and the references in your Bible. Spend some time studying, not just reading through it a little bit, but spend some time studying and taking notes and thinking. And when you prepare like that, then you're going to get more out of the lesson. And you might come up with questions. And you come to the questions when you come to class. Say, Brother Brent, I was wondering about this. Tell me what you think about this. And get the input of others in the classes, and you'll grow even that much more. Number three, so one, attend. Two, prepare. Three, contribute. Your study and your learning by yourself will cause you to want to contribute more, to share the fruits of your study. Contribute by asking questions when something's not clear. Don't be afraid to ask a question. Don't be afraid to sound like you're not as informed as you should be or you're ignorant on something. We're all ignorant on things. And so if something's not clear, if there's some passage you don't understand, ask. And sometimes two heads make better than one or three or four heads, and if we combine our thoughts and our ideas together, we can get a better idea of what something is about. So come to class, prepare, contribute, and then teach. Teach. That's the fourth thing. The best way to learn is to teach it. And you can teach it to someone else by sharing it. Maybe your husband and wife. When you have studied something and you say to your husband, I didn't realize this. Or maybe you could study together. Do you and your husband and your wife study together? I know of couples that study together. And they can share their ideas together. It can be fun. It can be helpful. It can be beneficial. It can be encouraging. And it can be a great learning experience. And number five, pray. One, attend. Two, prepare. Three, contribute to class. Four, teach someone. Share something you've learned. Your teaching, that process of sharing, will help you understand it better. And five, pray. Prayer, as always, is a vital part of our Christian life. You can begin your study with a prayer like this. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. As you continue to study, ask for God's understanding with a prayer like this, Psalm 119, 5 and 6. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. And in your study with a prayer like this, Psalm 119, 10, 11, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Let's all remember how valuable God's word is in our lives. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is more valuable than silver and gold and rubies, the writer of Proverbs says, sweeter than honey to the taste. Bible study takes time and effort, but oh, the great benefits that will come. Study is not always easy, especially when you start, but the benefits will be great and greatly outweigh any difficulty or obstacles you may face. Because you will learn more, you will learn faster, you will grow in your ability to recall the scriptures that you need, you'll grow in your ability to resist temptation, you'll grow in your ability to encourage others, and you'll grow in your ability to pray. Praying to God, praying through the Son, Jesus Christ. So many benefits in your life and others by studying God's Word. Study it carefully, study it regularly, study prayerfully, and then come to the Bible studies and let's worship and study together. Let's grow and learn together, that we might be more and more what God wants us to be. Thank you for listening this evening. God willing, we'll see you on Wednesday evening. Bye-bye for now.